Moses didn't add anything. He reported the story of Noah as they showed him. He reported the story of Abraham as he was shown. God showed him the beginning till where he was, till the day he met with him. God showed him Abraham, showed him the captivity, how they left, how Joseph came to Egypt. He showed all to Moses. Moses did not receive this story from anybody alive in this world. For the Bible says, none of this was of private interpretation. Amen. If you put this before Abel now, he will tell you, in Hebrew, private interpretation means kru-kri-kri. Kru-kri-kri means bra-bra-bra. He will always confuse himself instead of just acknowledging the simple thing that is there. Hallelujah. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. What Moses got is prophecy. That Genesis is prophecy. Exodus is prophecy. For this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. So he's not talking about the epistle. For he's talking about the old time. The Old Testament. None of the Old Testament was by the will of man. For you to say that those days, people don't go to a prophet without a gift. So, Abraham did the same. So, Abraham just kind of gave Melchizedek a gift. Because he came from the idolatry town. So, he knew you don't go to idol. When Abraham came from idolatry town, did you not hear that Abraham did not worship those idols? That he was looking for a city whose maker and builder was not man, but God. Meaning, while he was in Iraq, he did not worship those idols. That is why God singled him out. God didn't meet him in a temple worshiping idol and say, leave your idol and follow me. He saw that Abraham was desiring a God. So he singled him out to leave that land of idolatry. So Abraham wasn't acting like an idolater. He was acting moved by God, by faith, to give tithe to Melchizedek. Don't downplay what was being done, because the man of God here says, no one, it wasn't moved. He said, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When you wash somebody else down, you are washing yourself down. A dwarf, the only way he can grow tall is by telling you to lie down. Because he can't grow tall. So if you see people that lie down playing others so that they can be up, they are spiritual dwarfs. That's why I call Abel Damina a spiritual dwarf. Because in order for him to be mighty, he has to downplay others. Even the writers of the scripture, he has to call them liars, call them fools, downplay them so that he looks great. Zacchaeus. That's why all his life he's a Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus have to climb the tree in order to see Jesus. Abel Damina climbs trees from the beginning of his ministry. He climbed Ayor Isejafo. He climbed Michael Konko. Anyone that can help him reach where he cannot reach, he will climb the person. He has always been a dwarf, a Zacchaeus. So that's why he cannot be tall on his own until he brings others down. Now look at verse 2. Then look at chapter 2, verse 1. After saying all this thing, look at the very, very next thing he said. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, like what Abel is doing. Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. That is, these men are born again. They've been bought of the Lord. But they are false teachers. Can there be false teachers in Christ? Yes!
Yeah.
They bring damnable heresies. Amen.
Amen.
Even denying to the point of attacking Jesus. Denying the Lord that bought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Watch and see what is going to happen. Amen. It's everything good. Don't worry. Continue in your heresy. Continue attacking the pillars of the church. Continue doing things. I'm not talking about human pillars. I'm talking about the very essence of Christ, which are the pillars of baptism, the pillars of the Holy Communion, the pillars of tithe. Continue attacking it. He said, he didn't say they bring destruction on the church. No, he said they bring destruction on themselves. Swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. So look onto the internet, you will see many people praising him. Many people following these pernicious ways. These lies and this deception that they have brought out. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Have you not seen on the internet? People will rise up and say, now, wow, Christianity, I say Christianity has come since. The way of truth. By reason of Abel's manner of doing things, Christ has been evil spoken of. Christianity has been bastardized on the internet. Even Muslims are making comment. Muslims that used to revere Christ and what we teach are now looking as if we have been always teaching falsehood. One man has now come and exposed the can of worms. Which can of worms? This false prophet, which kind of worms are you exposing? Is tithe a secret? Is tithe a secret?
No, sir.
Let Abel bring the minutes of the meeting that they entered in, since he said he belonged to the clique of fathers of 140 people or thereabout. Let Abel Damina bring the minutes of the meeting which they entered in, written by the secretary of that meeting. Where they came upon the fact that tithe was not of God, but they decided not to let the people know. They sealed it and said, let's continue to receive tithe for now. Let him bring the minutes of that meeting where there was a common ground, an agreement that tithe has been discovered not to be in the scripture, not to be of God, not to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, not to be of Christ. And but they decided to cover it so that they continue collecting money from people. But now he is tired of this hypocrisy, so he has come out to expose that we all know that tithe is wrong, but we want to keep collecting it. And he is telling us the truth. I'm sorry, I was one of them. I used to collect tithe because I knew it was wrong. Did he actually, did Abel Damina know, even if tithe is wrong, which is not, did Abel Damina know all along that he was doing wrong? So, but what he is saying is like, he knew all along. We all knew we are wrong, but we were keeping it under wraps. So he is tired. This hypocrisy, he is now coming out to tell the world, this is wrong. We had discussed it. It is wrong. Where? Show me the letter, the minute of that meeting. And who was the secretary? Who were the people that were there when they were holding a meeting that tithe is wrong, but let us not tell the public first. Let us maintain it for a while until such a time before we tell the public. We don't have power over the scripture to subtract or not to, or to add. What we see is what we preach. We were not there when the thing was being scripted. We were not there. We were called into the ministry to look into the script and to give meaning to the script. And the man in the book of Hebrews looked into the script and he saw the connection between Jesus and Christ and gave meaning, as we are going to see here. Amen?
Amen.
He saw the connection between Jesus and Christ. And then he gave meaning to it and made us understand that we are that Abraham. We are that Abraham. Abraham is a type of us. We are the seed. We are that Abraham. Christ is the seed of that Abraham. All right? And just like Aaron, the seed of Levi, was to receive tithe of the rest of the brethren, even Christ, the seed of Abraham, who has attained to the office of Melchizedek, is to receive tithe from the rest of us who are his brethren. Therefore, we, the pastors, who are his officials, are to receive the tithe here on earth. Men that die receive tithe here. But in heaven, he reckons it that it is received. So how do we not receive tithe? What right do we have not to receive tithe? What right does Jesus have not to receive tithe? The Bible said that office was conferred upon him by God, that no man taketh that garment upon himself. But God is the one that confers it on people. So also Christ did not take up the garment upon himself, but it was conferred upon him by God. And God took an oath by himself, swearing, I have made you a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, everything that belongs to Melchizedek's office is yours. Is tithe not one of the things? Is Abraham's submission not one of the things? Are we not to also submit to Melchizedek? Who is our Melchizedek? Christ. Is Christ a new Old Testament thing? So what right does Christ have not to collect tithe? Christ has no right to say, sorry, under my own Melchizedek priesthood, I will not collect tithe. Because he did not take that office on himself. It is God that gave him the office. So the templates of the office, the rules and regulations of the office, whether he likes it or yes, he must abide by it. You know, politicians will tell you, if I am elected governor, I won't collect salary. If I'm elected senator, I won't collect salary. That is politicians. They don't know anything. But when they now get into their office, they realize that that office is sacred. And there are rules governing the office. All right? It is constitutionalized. It is not just an office you can decide how to live and how not to live. So you have to collect your housing allowance. You have to collect your car allowance. You have to collect your allowances for appearing in the Senate floor. They realize this thing is constitutional and not something you can say you don't want. So they now abide by the constitution, and then people now say, look at him. When he was campaigning, he said he will not collect this. Now he collected it. He did not know what he was doing. Now he's in the office. He now knows that this office is guided by constitution. The office of Melchizedek is not Jesus' own. It is God's own, conferred on Jesus. And in that office, there is a constitution that constrains Jesus to receive tithe, whether he likes it or not.
Yes, amen. Wait, sir. Amen.
Amen. Jesus cannot even say, I don't want tithe. Because he's occupying an office, he must remain. In the day he says, I don't want tithe, he must remove the garment of Melchizedek and give it back to God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we, his lieutenants, what right do we have to tamper with tithe? What right do we even have not to receive tithe? We don't have any right. We are his lieutenants. We are his subordinates, whom he has called to help him in the priestly office, primarily. So whether you are apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, you are primarily a priest under Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. So you do not have the right as a pastor to say, I don't want your tithe. You cannot violate that office. Jesus cannot violate that office. He must receive the tithe whether he likes it or not. You must receive the tithe whether you like it or not as a minister of God under the office of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Of me, sir.
So where did these people come from? They are not part of the body. They are false prophets in the church. The Bible said they are not part of us. They went out of us because they were not part of us. Another passage in the book of Jude said they are spots in our feast, clouds without rain, foaming their shame. So you see Abel foaming his shame on the internet every day. exposing his lack of understanding of the scripture, his lack of knowledge of the scripture, and his entire stupidity. Do you know what stupidity means? You know, we use stupidity like insult. But stupidity comes from stupor. That means a drunkard who is staggering. That is where stupor led to the word. So when you say somebody is revealing stupidity, it means he is staggering. He is neither here nor there. He is not finding his footing. He is trying to find his footing. So he's at this stage in our life is when a church, the church of Jesus Christ, will now begin to look for their footing. For 2,000 years, we don't have our footing. It is now that one person will now say the foundation will to relay it. Now, a stupor, a man under a wrong spirit, a drunken spirit that is not the spirit of God, is now wanting to tell the church that Jesus has abolished tithe. When Jesus has no right, because Jesus is the head of the church. But Jesus himself, God, is the head of Christ. So he cannot do anything in the church according to his will, but according to the will of his God. So Jesus has no right to abolish tithe, because he did not take that office upon himself. So he can't change the office. It was conferred upon him by God. So the things that are the entitlement of that office stays so. And you say that the Spirit of Jesus now raised men of God to come and say tithing, which is one of the rights of the office of Melchizedek, is abolished by who? Who would abolish this tithe? The Bible says that the law borrowed tithe from grace. Abraham met Melchizedek and paid tithe not under the law. So the law itself had to borrow tithe for survival. If you borrow cloth to go for party, when you have finished the party, will you not return the cloth to the owner? Now, when the seed of promise came, the seed of Abraham, the owner of Abraham's tithe finally came. He collected back what was borrowed to him, borrowed by the law. For the law was just a schoolmaster whose end comes when the seed becomes a man. He now inherits the promise. All right?
Yes.
So tithe was not under the law. So the tithe practiced by the law is not the tithe that Christians are practicing. We are not practicing the tithe that is practiced by the law. We are not compelled by the law to give tithe in the church. We are practicing the tithe that was practiced by faith through Abraham, whose seed Christ is. And one of the seed of Abraham, just like one of the seed of Israel, became a priest to the rest of the brethren. One of the seed of Abraham, which is the main seed called Christ, became a high priest to us all. So that we now tithe to him, not to Aaron. For we are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore, by grace, through faith, we tie to Melchizedek, which is Christ. And just like every high priest has subordinates that represent him, you know very well that what you don't understand is that our current president or the president of this country is the high priest of this country. You don't know? The taxes are collected for him so that he can run the country with it. The inland revenue agents that go from shop to collect the tithe, the taxes, are they collecting it by their own authority or the authority of the state? Those taxes are in the budget. They form the budget that will be used to spend on infrastructure, roads, and defense and everything. God gave us a government, not a religion. Jesus is the king of that government, sitting on the same throne with his father in that government. So every government has its tax system. Tithe is the tax system of the government of Melchizedek. Anyone not paying tithe is evading tax. Tax evasion is 21 years imprisonment. They want to imprison the church in poverty by teaching the church tax evasion. For what we have is not a religion. It's a life. And it is a government ruled by a king and a priest. How dare you take away tax in any government? How dare you joke with tax in any government and you will not, you go scot-free? Who is these people, for God's sake? Who sent them? They ran and nobody sent them. No, the Holy Ghost didn't send them. God didn't send them. They just went and started running. No more tax. We are not under the law. We are not taxing anymore. We are not under the law. As if tax, tithe is that of the law. The law borrowed tax, tithe, for Levi, who collect tithe from the rest of the brethren, paid tithe in Abraham. So even the law pays tithe to Christ. He borrowed the tax, tithe, for survival. Even him, the law, pay tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham. So when did tithe now become obsolete? When tithe existed before the law, how then did tithe become under the law? That when the law passed by, the priesthood was not abolished. The Bible says, since there was need for the change of the law, there is also need for the change of priesthood. So the priesthood of Aaron was put aside so that the priesthood of Melchizedek and grace will start. So the priesthood of Melchizedek is what was conferred upon Christ. So Christ, who is wearing the garment, is not wearing the garment of Aaron, but is wearing the garment of Melchizedek, and he's occupying the office of Melchizedek. He has no right to do anything contrary to what that office has to do, which means he has to receive tithe, because we also, who are seeds of Abraham, have no right to do anything contrary to what Abraham did. That is why we have to pay tithes. In the book of Genesis, say Abraham gave him tithe. But in the book of Hebrews, he said Abraham paid tithe. So it has become a law. See, when an action, the Bible says, and David said, let he that stays at home share equally with them that went to war. Then it became a law in Israel. When an action is done by the fathers, it becomes a law in the land. That thing Abraham did became a law in the house of Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand? So it is binding on us that we should respect our Melchizedek as Abraham respected his Melchizedek. It is binding on us. We don't have a choice. The Melchizedek himself has no choice. Jesus can never come and say to you, in my own reign as the new Melchizedek, I don't want tithe. He cannot. So you see that Jesus is not the one that sent Abel. Jesus is not the one that sent Crefodola. Jesus is not the one that sent Daddy Freeze. They ran without being sent. Now, when a man who was a priest ran without being sent to carry the message to David, Joab said to him, you are a priest actually, and you are the one that carries message, but there is no good news today. Please, sir, don't run. He said, nevertheless, it is my office in the army. I must run. And then Joab realized that, well, it is your office. I can't stop you. So he said, run. Then he now called the black guy and said to him, this is the message you will take. Now, you see, in the army, they don't tell you what to tell the king. No, you must be there to witness. That man was not there to witness, but he had to run to talk about the victory. Then the king asked him, what are the man about the man Absalom? He said, that one I did not witness. He said, stand aside. Then the other one came and he said the same thing the first one said. He now asked him, what about the man Absalom? He now told the king the man is dead. That is the message the king was looking for. So the other one, his ministry was suspended. These people's ministry, Abel's ministry, the ministry of Daddy Freeze, the ministry of Crebodola, will be taken away from them. They will be suspended because they ran without being sent. Jesus cannot send you to go and say, that the new office of Melchizedek has no right to receive tithe. He can't, because he did not take the office for himself. It was conferred upon him. Do you understand?
Yes,
so you know the liars, people that are lying in the name of Jesus. False prophet among us, lying in the name of Jesus. Because they don't know the scripture, nor the power of the scripture. For when you don't know the scripture, you don't have the power of it. That is why a man will be so stupid to go back on the scripture and start challenging the scripture, touching the scripture, attacking the scripture. Then what are you revealing? What are you interpreting? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We will continue to expose lies upon lies upon lies upon lies that these wicked and unreasonable men are spreading on in line. Lies! Lies! In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.